Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer, and I am a co-host to the Stories from the Earth podcast, which you are listening to. This is a special episode. We got permission from Mason from Herb Rally to replay our interview that we had on the Herbalist Hour. Mason does a podcast series called The Herbalist Hour, where he interviews herbalists, and we were very honored to be on it. This was our first interview, and we've interviewed lots of people, but this was our first interview. So this is the replay. Please check out Herb Rally if you can. It's fantastic. Check out the website too. Beautiful website. I'm so jealous. this is my cat, Eugene. If you can see him here, he's a little blown out because he's all white. So enjoy. Okay, bye.
Welcome back to the Herbalist Hour. Today I'm joined by Jennifer Braverman and Ellen Selm. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hi.
Welcome to the Herbalist Hour. This is where community gather, merging the power of people and flowers, the sweet and the bitter to the salty, the sour. Oh, mommy, it's time for the Herbalist Hour.
All right, so I'm just getting rolling here as far as like learning how to interview two people at once. I've done it a couple times now, so hopefully I'm improving to one degree or another. But first questions first. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to address individuals, and that way it'll be maybe less Zoom awkward. So I would love to hear the story about how you two met to get things rolled off, kicked off. So how about we start with you, Jennifer?
Yeah, so we actually met at work. We opened a brand new store of a large natural health food chain, and I was a cashier, and Ellen worked in the like supplement department, and we met in the, I don't know, I checked her out, we sort of like knew each other, but we never really talked. And we had one amazing meetup in the break room one day, and that was it, pretty much.
I could just picture you two just like nerding out on herbs. I'm guessing that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you want to add, Ellen?
I was just going to say, yeah, I believe it was an herbal conversation, or she overheard me saying something to somebody else based on, you know, the department I worked in. And she like chimed in about it. And then it was like, I see. Yes, you get it.
Well,
herb zone.
And dear audience, I haven't said this yet, but they're the hosts. Jennifer and Ellen are the hosts of the Stories from the Earth podcast. Pause the episode now and go subscribe. So I'm curious about both of your herbal origin stories, if you will. So Ellen, how did you get into herbalism in the first place?
It's kind of funny, actually. I grew up in Western North Carolina. You know, the Appalachian Mountains are sort of nature's breadbasket for flora and fauna, and so that was always kind of near and dear to me. And then when I was 15 ish trying to decide what I was going to be when I grew up, I managed to come across a book written by a Cornell trained veterinarian, but it was about holistic medicine for your dog and cat, because at the time I was like, I'm going to be a veterinarian one day. And when I read that book, I was like, oh my gosh, like so much of this stuff also applies to humans. And so that just got me starting to read more about like plant medicine in general on its application. And so over the years, it's been learning about it, you know, historically and in practice. Several years later, early 20s, started going to a private school with a dual degree tract in traditional naturopathy and herbalism as like a side concentration. That fell apart. Not my fault. Powers that be ruined it for everyone involved. Kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. So I was like, I just learn by doing and learn on my own time. So I've just mostly been self-taught in that sense. And then working in the natural products industry for 16 years kind of kept me using that part of my brain and applying it in terms of like helping people, but mostly just from a conversational advisory standpoint, you know.
Very cool. How about you, Jennifer?
So I don't remember when exactly the idea of like me and herbs happened. I grew up in a house where we were very like alternative medicine natured. Like we went to the chiropractor and we were always taking echinacea. So I was very, very familiar with herbs and they were in my life, but not in like a big way. I was just like, oh, we'll just take echinacea, blah, blah, blah. I know what tincture is. And I didn't realize how kind of maybe unusual that was. My mom's sort of always been like that a little bit. So then I ended up, I don't know where this idea came from. I ended up going to a one-day medicine making class at Red Moon Herbs, which is a local herbal company here. Very awesome. Check them out. Yeah. And it was years ago, so they were in a different location with different owners, and the owner lived in this eco village. It's called Earth Haven Eco Village, so it's on like a top of a mountain pretty much, like out in the middle of nowhere. So we went out there, we like did a plant walk, they taught us how to make salves and tinctures and oils, and you know, we infused some plantain we started a plantain oil infusion. We went out and picked the leaves, and we had like nettle soup for lunch. I remember that food was included. It was a fantastic little class, and I just that was it. I was just like, and something hooked. Yeah, it just felt very familiar. It felt like, oh, like I'm home. This is what I should be doing more of this. And from then I started making like lip balm and just ran with it. I felt like I just took the whole class and like, you know, I don't know, absorbed it whole. So that's how I got my start.
Yeah, I'm reminiscing on when I first got into herbalism, and yeah, that feeling that you get is just infectious and you just can't stop learning and growing. Who have been some of your herbal mentors or inspirations, Jennifer?
Well, unfortunately, I was not fortunate enough to have a mentor. I really, really wanted to do an apprenticeship to continue my education and go to more school after that class, but I ran into monetary barriers. I was not making a lot of money and I could not afford like the $2,000 it was to go to school. And a lot of the apprenticeships were paid. Up until this day, I have not, like, there's very small, I don't even know if there's anyone's doing an unpaid just one-on-one apprenticeship, which I would still really, really love to do. Just, you know, hang out with an herbalist for a while and learn from them. But I guess aside from that, I don't really have one. I guess herbalists in general, I've been listening to your Herbalist Hour.
Yay.
And I've been finding that very, very inspiring on top of all the herbalists that we've interviewed for our podcast. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there hasn't been just one herbalist. There's been just multiple ones that I've.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. There's so many great herbalists out there, and that's why it's fun. We get to do what we do, where we get to learn from the guests each episode. So Ellen, do you have any, like, say, herbal, not necessarily even mentors per se, but people that inspire you in general? Or
One of the first, I would say I'd give him credit just because it was some of my first exposure to works that were very detailed and thought out. Michael Murray, who was, I don't remember his credentials. He was with Bastyr University for a while, but he wrote like the Encyclopedia of Healing Foods, and he had one about herbs as well. And I had, my dad had managed to find that his herb book somewhere, like used, missing its dust jacket, all that. He's like, oh, I found this, picked it up with some other stuff, thought you might be interested. So I think that was actually my first official herb book that I owned, but it was nice because it was like, it went into detail about a lot of herbs kind of more specifically in a scholarly way, which helped compared to just like, well, browsing the internet back at that time was not, there wasn't as much on the internet back then. Sure. But also, big fan of the tiaras, Michael and Leslie Tiara. Would love to attend their planetary herbal program. Just their approach, the fact that they do a lot of detail on both Eastern and Western herbs and some of the more sort of spiritual elements tied into that. And then also I feel like maybe in his life, some of his approaches to things or views on things for his generation didn't always sit well with people, but I highly enjoy the works of Stephen Booner, Hail the Traveler, may he rest in peace. Just he takes some stuff to like a whole other level that I just blew my mind when reading his stuff. I was like, I didn't even ever conceptualize thinking about it like this. So it's very cool.
Yeah, I got to meet Stephen Buhner at an event in Portland, Oregon. And what a fascinating guy. And I actually, to this day, on my social media account, it says, I use a quote saying, follow the golden thread. And I got that from Stephen Buhner, actually. So I definitely dig that as well. Curious, let's talk about the podcast. So Stories from the Earth podcast, you're both hosts. But I want to say, Jennifer, you kind of started it and maybe Ellen came on later, but I won't spill the beans for the audience. I would like to hear you and Jennifer, like tell the story about how the podcast started, the inspiration behind it and all that.
Yeah. So it was an idea I had for a long time. I want to talk to herbalists because I knew that there were many different ways of being an herbalist. And I was just really curious about those ways. And I felt like I wasn't hearing the herbalist talk. Like, I don't know. I felt like there was a need. Yeah. And I was curious. So that was the original idea, is just to interview the herbalists and hear their stories. And I was very interested in how one also like works as an herbalist and what were the options available all for me. Cause I was, again, like, I was like, I don't know quite how to proceed on this herbal path. And I thought, yeah, people might also want to know. It took a few years. And then I asked my friend, Deanna Rose, she's an herbalist locally here, because I wanted to ask her because she makes me feel very comfortable and calm. And I'm like, I'm going to interview people. I'm going to be nervous. I've never done this before. I've read half an how to interview book. That should be fine. Okay. Let's go. And so we did the interview. She's like, so I asked her and she's like, how about Tuesday? And that was like a week. And I was like, okay, fine. Tuesday it is. So it was like 4 years. And then suddenly it was week away.
Wow.
So we started out doing it live on YouTube. That was the first one. And then I didn't think anything was going to come of it, because in my life, things just sort of, I'm like, oh, haven't happened. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll do one And that's it. That's all that'll happen.
Oh.
I just feel like I've been knocking on doors and none of them have opened for whatever reason. And so then she posted it to her social medias because she's very involved in the herbal community locally here. And at the time I was not. I'd always wanted to be, but I wasn't. And it blew up from there. Like suddenly all of these herbalists wanted to talk.
Hmm.
I had a sign up sheet. I had to schedule 2 a month for several months to go through this list of everyone who wanted to talk. And I was just blown away. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It really just hit a chord with them. No one had asked them this. And I was just like, really? They're like, oh, thank you for writing the space for us to speak. And I was like, oh, thank you for talking to me. Like, you own Red Moon Herbs. You own this herb school. You do all this amazing things that I've seen on social media that I'm just, so I was equally blown away. And yeah, so we went through the list and Ellen came on episode 13, I believe. I interviewed her before that. And then she came on. She's like, I was kind of waiting for her to ask me. Because we had, but then she did. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And we decided to sort of expand the concept because we started out interviewing herbalists and we're like, well, we could do more with this title, Stories from the Earth.
Yeah.
And we expanded out to just, how different ways you connect with the outside world. So, and then we are also doing books. We do book reviews and book chats. And we still have a large amount of herbalists and we probably will continue to have because it's close to our hearts. But we just interviewed 2 people who wrote a book about the Appalachian Trail. We interviewed Ellen's sister, who's an environmentalist. Would that be her term?
Yeah.
Conservationist.
Yeah.
So we've interviewed storytellers and
interviewed me.
We interviewed you. I think it was like only your second interview.
Yeah, it was definitely in the first 3, but I'm pretty sure you're right. I think it was my second interview. So well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. This is our first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of being interviewed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm honored.
Yeah, so are we.
It's like, what does he want to talk to us about? We're the people that talk to the people, and now he's the person that talks to the people who talks to the people.
I'm the person that talks to the people too. Yeah, so it's the, yeah, here we are. We're all just
talking to the people.
Herbalist podcasters. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Ellen? Or
I thought whenever Jennifer had told me about it, and then she told me the title, like all the wheels started turning in my head because I mean, she and I, whenever we're together, are just pretty much constantly spitballing ideas anyway. And then I had been reading a lot of stuff relating to storytelling and myth and sort of connecting to place via those sort of archetypes and stuff, like with Joseph Campbell and Martin Shaw and Paul Kingsnorth, and so people who were very poetic in their writing but also very nature-based thinking. And I was like, with a title like Stories from the Earth, I mean herbalists are great, but like we could, you know, anybody who's, you know, musically inclined but also kind of connects into nature somehow, or actually is a storyteller or but connects to nature somehow and so forth. So we have our list of like dream guests, and then we have our who are people who are like, it's going to take several layers to maybe get through to the real human and ask if they would humbly grace us with their presence. But then also focusing on the local and keeping it local, because there's so many people, especially in this Appalachian region, that you know, unless you're immediately in their tiny little community network, you might not have ever heard of them, but they could be doing amazing things. So then it's like it gives a platform to offer them a voice too, which is really cool. So it's nice to have like an overarching theme, but, you know, wiggle room to play around with it too. So it's been a lot of fun.
I love that. And I want to say Asheville, North Carolina probably has the most herbalists per capita than any other city in the U.S. It's got to be up there. But yeah, I really love that it's not just herbal centric per se, but you could then express your interest in all these different areas of the natural world. And, you know, I kind of pigeonholed myself with the herbalist hour, but I was just talking to my dad the other day. My brother is not an herbalist whatsoever. But I still want to have him on the show anyways, because why not? So I'll probably reach out or expand out a little bit and try to get other random guests on the show just for funsies. And to be honest, like, one of the benefits of having a podcast is you get to then later, like, selfishly go back and kind of see where you were at in that time and just the interesting conversations with the people you had. So y'all just hit 50 episodes. That's awesome. And I want to say it's been at a rate about every 2 weeks. Is that still kind of the thing, every 2 weeks?
We're done, one a month now.
One a month. Okay. Well, 50 is a huge accomplishment then at that rate. So what has been, you know, maybe like rewarding for reaching that milestone? Yeah, Jennifer, we'll start with you.
As I'm like, whoa.
Or Ellen, unless you want to.
It's been something that I have accomplished. And like I said, I feel like the doors have not opened, and I've had a lot of health issues. I've taken a really weird, like, work path, or not so weird, but kind of disappointing at this point. But once Deanna posted the podcast, and it just happened, like, and it's crazy that we've done 51 episodes now. episodes, and yeah, so it's like, sometimes I forget, oh wait, I did this, I'm doing this still, like, this is the thing that's happening, and it's ongoing, and it's growing, and we have like so many more ideas, and that's very exciting. So I think just the thing itself is rewarding and encouraging and you know, very uplifting, and like, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of the herbal community now, and I know all these people, and I got to know all these great people, and in a way that I've never experienced before. And it's just sort of a dream come true, and everything. Yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Ellen?
I feel like it's such an interesting feeling, because I know Jennifer would probably agree with me that there's times where it's like we're about to go into something and we're like, I can't believe such and so is going to talk to us, or like, we're just not feeling it. Like, we've had to do some things where it was like at an odd time of the day based on our schedules or the guest schedules or something. Or we're worried our questions aren't going to be good enough, or, you know, there'll be these nerves that come up. And then it's like, once we're in the zone and talking to the people, and the conversation flows so naturally, and you know, we'll learn so many cool things that you get to walk away from it. Even in the couple instances where we've ended up like wrapping up at almost, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we'll be like actually pumped and energized, you know, walking away from it. And that's just, I feel like that's a good sign that, you know, you're doing something worthwhile with your time here on earth, if you can walk away from it going like, yeah, I want to do that again.
People have been, even they compliment us on our question. The one person we interviewed, they were like, yeah, usually they just ask, so what's the book about?
Right.
And we're like, oh,
And we're like dissecting it.
You know, we're just doing all these, we're like, oh, well, we're just asking these questions we thought were important. And then they were very impressed. So it's just, it feels good.
Yeah. You may or may not know this, but I didn't start interviewing people until, what, like 9 months ago. And I had before that, I had a podcast for, I want to say like 5 or 6 years. And I never actually interviewed anyone because, quite frankly, I was scared to do it. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the interview process. But then also the writing the questions part, I was like, how do I even get into this thing? It seems so elusive to me, but now it's very straightforward. Research the guest, ask questions around what they want to talk about potentially. And yeah, the question writing process has been way more enjoyable than I anticipated. So, kudos to you two. You did it, you started and then you continue to do it every month now. And, yeah, we're excited for your next milestone. This is really neat. I saw on your Instagram page that you either participated in or is coming up a live panel podcast at the Asheville Herb Festival. Did that happen?
Yes.
Oh, it did.
It did happen. And the podcast episode will be out like in a couple days.
I'm excited to see that. So I guess a couple questions around that. What was there a live audience, and is it recorded like say on like a camera as opposed to like say a computer screen? What was that process like, and were you nervous and all that stuff? I'm just genuinely curious because selfishly I could see myself doing something like that at some point.
For the first run, I'd say we were slightly flying by the seat of our pants. Jennifer has thankfully the background of having been exposed to filming live events because of stuff her parents did when she was growing up, and so she had some access to, she got equipment, but we kind of threw it together pretty last minute. I was designing flyers I think for like 2 days prior to the event for us to just hand out at the event. When we got there, the person who was doing a lecture in the tent before us ran like way over, and we were like, oh my god, like how do we kick him out, like what do we do? The people we were going to interview started showing up, and they're all these wonderfully brassy women, and they were like, let's get in there, and just
we did. Just, like, he's
like, we'll just start setting up and he's moving around, and
we should have done this 30 minutes ago. I was terrified. And so I, bought my first, well, my parents had a low power television station when I was growing up. So I was like 12 years old, like shooting the Weaverville Christmas parade live. And my dad, you know, he did like live switching. So I was running a camera and he was like, we're going to Jen. Okay, we're on Jen, you know, and, and my parents had little TV shows, and I went to film school for a little bit. So I have a background, and then I actually just bought my first new video camera, and it was live in front of an audience, and we had four amazing women who were also vendors, and it just was amazing how it came together, because I was like, I want to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then I told, who did I tell? I think I posted it. We have a little panel because we do panels, so we have a little panel group, and I think I asked this in the group, and one of the women at the time, she was part of the organizers, and she was like, I'll go ask. And I was like, what? And she's like, yep, that's fine, we just need you to have people on the panel who are going to be vending, and here's a topic, because I was like, we don't have a topic, is there a topic for the whole event? Or, and I was like, here's a topic. I'm like, well, that's a great topic, we'll use that. And that's how it happened. And it was just like super easy. And I was like, how did I convince you people to let us try this crazy thing? But yeah, there was no time to set up, like, I'm like doing all these things with wires, and we only had two mics. So we were sharing mics, and I was like, oh gosh. And I had just got both mics to work with the camera the day before. And I was like, we might have one mic, but I magically like hit a button and I was like, yes, yes. Cause the the book to the camera is terrible. It was translated bad. And so I was just like, anyway, learning how to work.
I think it really wet our whistle for the idea of doing more, you know, finding more, if not in the venue of events as such, even just creating our own, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what is what we are working on currently, is to do more of that on a regular basis at a venue in town. Well, we'd love to also do more at conventions, fairs, and even we have an idea for doing things at farmers markets. And I've got four mics now, and I'm going to get a soundboard. Like my parents visited, and so we spent all day with the camera and the soundboard. And I was like, what is this? His dad's like, I'm going to give you these wires, all these, I've got so many wires. And I'm like, what's this one do? And a little sound crash course, because I've never really dealt with the sound part. And I was like, if we're going to have like four or five people, we need more mics. So yeah, that's sort of, so that's how that happened. And then I think we were also planning on going into the herb festival and like talking to the people who are vending and stuff like that. But that part quite didn't happen yet. But this time, because we were so tired, and but I think that, I mean, I'd love to do more of sort of that thing. So I've got a lot of ideas, too many ideas. Maybe.
And the Asheville Herb Fest is a pretty big deal. It happens every year, every spring, and it has been happening for several years. So now that we kind of have a toe in, maybe we can make it even bigger and better next year.
Was there actually onlookers, like were people in the audience listening in live?
Yes, we did have some people. That's cool. The guy before us had more, but...
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious because, yeah, that would definitely add to like the nerves, I suppose. But I guess once you're kind of in the flow, it probably kind of just felt easy.
Yeah, and I think it helped that each of the women on the panel we've talked to before.
For sure.
And they are familiar with what we do. So once we kind of got in that groove, you know, that helped. I would say it's unfortunate because we ended up starting late, that then we were having to rush off for the person who was in the tent after us, which means we didn't really get a chance to do audience Q&A, which would have been fun. So hopefully we can plan more appropriately for that sort of space in the future as well.
We got one question, and you can't really hear them in the recording. I left it in just in case anyone... I was like, oh, a question, yay! but what next time I want to set up like a mic for people to come down to if they have a question. And usually our podcast is like at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. So we're used to having more time than just an hour. And these ladies have a lot of information that they, you know, we love to talk about herbs and stuff. So it was challenging for everyone. They're like, but they did a really good job, and they're really good at, they're used to teaching classes and doing public speaking, and I am not.
Yeah.
You know, this is easy. Like, I'm like, just stick a camera on me. I'm okay. I'm a little nervous, but like, but in front of like live humans, I'm like, ah, yeah, it's a live human. But later on, we're not on the podcast, I'd love to chat with you about more about that live thing. And maybe we can, I don't know, hatch some plans.
Yeah, I'll actually be at the Great Lakes Herb Fair this coming September, where I'm going. I've done several in-person interviews now, and I actually really like those a lot, because I feel like there's, I don't know, more of an energy exchange, I suppose. So yeah, I've definitely done in-person interviews, and then Amanda edits those ones because there's a lot more work involved in that. But yeah, I actually also plan. So when we're at the Great Lakes Herb Fair, I'm going to be doing several in-person interviews, and then actually we're going to have a booth there. We're sponsoring it this year. And I want to say we're probably going to set up some sort of, say, podcasting situation at the booth, where we're going to interview, you know, attendees and whatnot. I'm still not sure 100% how that's going to look, but I'm super excited just to kind of practice or dip my toe in, like, say, the live atmosphere. So again, kudos to you two for just doing it. I mean, once you kind of put it out there, there's no turning back anyways, or there's going to be public shaming and stuff. So good job. Yeah, I was curious. You said it's the Asheville Herb Fest is a kind of a big deal. I just kind of want to know, what is it like? Is it a weekend long thing? Is it a day thing? Is it a free event? Like, what does the Asheville Herb Fest look like?
It's 3 days, usually like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it is free. And it's interesting. I don't know exactly what happened with the structure. It used to be at the largest farmers market in Asheville. It was mostly just plant vendors. And then within the last few years, it transitioned over to like the fairgrounds and agricultural center. So it had more room to spread out. It had access more to buildings if it needed it. Somewhere in that change in its iteration, it also started offering more like little class seminars, which is kind of where we were at in one of the tents, where you could just kind of pop in and listen in on whatever the subject was at the scheduled time, if it was something that interested you. So they had like a whole vendor area, but then they crossed over from not just vendors selling plants, but also, you know, herbal vendors selling the products they made and stuff like that. So you have the educational component, the products, the plants. They even had a food truck row. So it's kind of a little bit more of its own little sort of fair now, which is pretty cool.
It's been growing. I think they've been doing it a really long time, but it's been steadily growing. And when you go into the main building, the tent was outside. When you go into the main building, it's huge in there. And there's all kinds of herbal vendors. And it was just, like I said, unfortunately, we didn't get in there. I went to the bathroom. that's as far as I got. But yeah, it's really amazing now how they've evolved, and the classes are fairly new. So I'm pretty excited. So maybe at some point we'll get inside and do classes. I don't know if there's real space for that, but yeah, right now it was in a tent. So
yeah, that's an event I have not been to yet. I've been to lots of herbalism events, but that's definitely one I'm going to have to check out. Amanda and I definitely want to make some sort of Asheville trip at some point anyways. Not sure if you two know or not, but I just moved to Wisconsin, and we live in a city called Appleton. And speaking of putting things on wax so there's no turning back, I do want to eventually someday create an event called the Appleton Herb Rally, which I think would be a lot of fun. I haven't organized an event in a while, and I think I'm finally starting to feel comfortable doing it again, because, you know, for 11 years I organized events for Mountain Rose Herbs, and I think it's becoming time again to maybe start doing herbal events, but we shall see. So switching gears a little bit, I went back to my old emails with Jennifer, and you wrote down a bunch of questions for me, and I kind of want to turn the tables back at you and just ask you some of the same questions. So and we should probably also talk about herbs at least a little bit in the herbal shower. So name one herb that has impacted your life in a positive way, and what ways has your life been improved by that herb? And Ellen, we could start with you, or we could buy you some time.
I would say the first herb that I really had a personal affinity to was thyme. And I think it's because ever since I was a little kid, I've always struggled. I've had like lung challenges, and thankfully nothing so bad as like asthma or anything, but it's like if I get sick, it goes straight to the lungs. I had bronchitis, it feels like every year, twice a year, whatever, growing up. Yeah, I mean, who's so fond of having to drink a bunch of nasty cough syrup, right?
Right.
And the first time I ever had time and how quickly it works, you know, some herb things, you know, take a little while to build up in the system. And, you know, I'm a fairly patient person, so I get that. I understand enough about how that medicine works to give it the time that it needs, but time just worked so fast for me that it was like undeniably like, oh my gosh. And I'm also, I really like to cook and kind of think of myself as like an intuitive chef in the sense that like, I've always been very good at cooking and figuring out how to mix flavor combos and things like that, just by how it smells or something like that. And thyme, of course, is, you know, a pretty common cooking spice as well. So the fact that it, you know, very readily has that sort of crossover made it very applicable in a lot of situations. But yeah, thyme leaf just drying everything up and making you feel like yourself again is pretty magical.
Amen.
I would have to say, I guess, willow bark. So I have a lot. I have two chronic illnesses that have a lot of inflammation, and one just cannot take aspirin long term. So that combined with like a lot of turmeric has really, really helped me out. And also valerian, and I like oat as nervines. Mm-hmm. To help just sort of calm the system down. Is something that I've fairly recently picked up, and I was like, yeah.
Which one was that? I missed oat. It. Oat.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's what I talked about during our show too.
You might have.
I think I did.
I've heard you talk about oat before. I don't remember if it was like on another podcast or like on ours.
I probably talk about it every podcast, but
yep.
Yeah. It's such a nice, cozy herb.
Totally.
It is. It is. And one that I really like it just is mugwort. I don't take it as a tea or anything. I think most people, I don't know. Sorry. I don't know how most people use it, but I like to make smudge sticks from it. And I just really like how as like an alternative to sage, it's sort of considered like the sage of the South or something like that. It has a kind of a similar action. And I just love how it smells. And I do find it very comforting. And it was one of the first herbs that I just started like drying and discovering that there it is over there, recognizing where it grew, and oh, that whole soccer field is full of it. Okay. Oh, it's on the side of the road. So those are some of the herbs that I use every day, and they really you know, help me out.
Love it. Well, I definitely remember this question. There are many ways to be an herbalist. What is your idea of who an herbalist is and what an herbalist does? Jennifer, you want to take that one first?
So broadly speaking, I think it's just anyone who does anything with plants and has a love for plants. Like, and even if you're just going to the health food store and using tinctures, you're not making them, you're just using them, but you you have a little container garden with some mint and some whatever, lemon balm and things like that. So I think it's very broad. Personally, never mind.
That's great.
I think I was going to go on a little inclusive tangent there.
Well, I think I might maybe where Jennifer was kind of going with it, because I think she and I both have had discussions before about sort of struggling with herbal imposter syndrome, where it's like, I don't know, you know, you get this vision of the Baba Yaga out in the woods or something, and it's like, who am I? You know? So it's like, you know, if you haven't gone to ABC herb school or done X amount of mentorship hours or opened your own apothecary or, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, you know, then somehow in your head you're like, well, then I must not be an herbalist. But like Jennifer said, you know, people working with plants. Now, a gardener isn't necessarily an herbalist, and an herbalist isn't necessarily a gardener. But I think that obviously there's plenty of overlap, and the herbalism split, at least in my mind, is where the relationship with the plant shifts to a more personal level, obviously, because you're also talking about the interactivity between the human species and the plant species in terms of use, you know, sharing the properties of what it's capable of and so forth. And to that effect, like Jennifer said, even somebody who is regularly taking an herbal remedy of some sort to help themselves or a family member or something like that is in essence an herbalist, I would say. But then, of course, also if you are practicing in any sense, working with clients or having an apothecary or gardening, but you're then using, you know, your own herbs for things and so forth. Yeah.
Love it. We're very inclusive here at Herb Rally as well. I dig the answers. Thank you. What inspires you most about the natural world, Ellen?
I guess what I think about when I just think the natural world, and then I find this, I guess, inspiring, is just, it is what it is, right? We're going to get a little existential here. Please. If everything just is, then that's kind of, nature is the baseline, right? Like at the end of the day, if you strip away all human overcomplicating consciousness and all of our things and our stuff and what we do or think we have to do and so on and so forth, it all comes back to nature, and so much of it existed before us, will continue to exist after us. I feel like there's a certain amount of peace in that thought, and it's inspiring in the sense that if you get too much in your head, whether that's either an anxiety or an inflated ego or something, if you just can walk it back to nature and thinking about that bigger picture, kind of takes a load off on a lot of levels, you know, or knocks you down a peg, or takes a load off, depending on how you want to look at it. But it's kind of helps ground you and reframe things a lot. You know, it's a good.
Yeah. I just want to comment on that before we switch over to Jennifer as well. Thank you for sharing that. And it got me thinking, you know, when I was really struggling with, say, depression in my teen years, one of the things, and this is probably going to sound cliche, but one of the things that really helped me kind of get my ego in check or not feel so much anxiety was, looking at the stars, which obviously is a part of nature, and just kind of feeling, you know, infinitely small and kind of insignificant, which might sound kind of depressing in a way as well. But I think it just, I was able to look at the bigger picture, and it kind of, it really helped me out a lot. And I vividly remember doing that intentionally just to kind of recenter myself, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. I had many teen night moments staring at the sky as well. Yes.
Right on. Well, how about you, Jennifer?
So the most, so we have where I live in my housing development, it's sort of like a path slash drainage area. Mm-hmm. And it's just this weird area with like a big retaining wall. The whole complex is sort of on a big hill. So it goes up. And so when you go up to the, you can go up to the, we're at the, our apartment is sort of at the bottom of the hill, and then there's some at the top. And like I said, there's a path. So it's a huge retaining wall. And then there's just, for some reason, the company didn't just level the area. Mm. And I think it's just because of the landscape. We have a stream running by it. I think it was just too hard to do that. So they left a lot of the nature. And it's great. It's a great little path. There's goldenrod everywhere in the fall, and there's mullein now there. But I realized when I was walking there one day, and I try to get out on that path because we don't live a place where you can just walk anymore. We had to move, which and, you know, I was like, every time I get into nature, I just feel like I am like enough. Like, I don't have to be anything more than me. I can just be who I am, and that's fine. And I feel like a lot of times in my everyday life, I sort of have to meet a standard that is not, that is extra. I don't know, but meet a specific standard, and I don't have to do that. I don't have to try to be more organized. I don't have to try to be like faster. I don't have to try to be on time anywhere. I don't have to try to, I could just be like, and it seems like, you know, the nature, if it was like an entity called nature, that it was like, yeah, you're cool, whatever, we're good with that, we like you just as way you are. And I'm like, oh. So I feel like that's my main takeaway, and that's very comforting, and it's good to remind myself of that when I get too stressed out and everything else. And
Yeah, when you're out there in the woods, say, you're not seeing billboards advertising some sort of product making you feel like you don't have something or you need it, or nature's very giving in that way. It's you are who you are when you're out there on the trail, so or not the trail, just out there. You mentioned earlier on your podcast you do book reviews, which I think is a really fun idea. I saw one that you covered was called Confessions of a Recovering Environmentalist. I was just curious. I love the title. If there's any like key takeaways from the book that you could share with the audience, and Ellen, we could start with you.
Oh, wow. You had to pick
the hardest one. That's the first one where the book is, and it's not even a huge book, but it's so
dense,
poignant, that we have divided it into, the book itself is divided into three sections. So we've done a book review of section one and section two, and section three is an upcoming episode because it just requires that much digging into that we had to treat it that way. But yeah, definitely it was the title that grabbed us as well. And I had read other things by the author Paul Kingsnorth and liked his style of writing and way of thinking. And then this kind of was out of left field a little bit. I feel like in terms of the title, like I didn't think it was like similar to other stuff he'd written. Now that I'm reading it, I think it is, you kind of see his personality in it. But gosh, big takeaway. I mean, it's just, it's one of those books where it's like, it's so relevant for now and for our future, like so much of what's discussed in it. But it's also one of those books where you're feeling like, because he didn't, it's not a recent book of his. and the stuff he's talking about having done in the book and the time period he did it in was even further back from when he published the book. So it's like one of those kind of things where I'm sure he himself feels like, oh gosh, why do we still have to be talking about this stuff?
Yeah.
So it's like you feel good that it's like prescient, and then at the same time you feel like, oh, I wish we weren't still having to have these conversations. I hesitate to go more into it than that. People are just gonna have to listen to the episodes because maybe there's a lot of meat there.
Yeah.
That was a pretty recent episode. Yeah,
Within this year we've done one and part two. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, we started out the year with part one. I was like, we're starting out this year in a serious nature. Yeah. It's I would say that it's definitely broadly about nature and our connection to it, and but it's a lot more than that. It's great. It's like one of those books where you've had the thoughts and then you read someone who's had the same thoughts but yet has more eloquently said it, and you're like, yeah. Dang it, you're so
smart. Then you feel like, oh well, maybe I'm not crazy because there's actually somebody articulating this in print form.
Yeah, so I definitely recommend everyone checking out the episodes, and if you get to pass episode two, yeah, we are doing it the third one, so probably this fall. Not sure. We gotta
awesome.
Do the third one.
Yeah, you gotta tie a bow on it. Right on. Well, we're just about an hour here, and just kind of a question to get to know you two a little bit better. What's a hobby of yours, random hobby outside of the realm of health, wellness, herbalism, all that stuff? Jennifer, if you want to go first.
Oh, that is my hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably video games.
Nice.
Yeah, I
what kind of games?
I like RPGs, the role-playing games. I like things like Stardew Valley, so it's a farming simulator, like if you played Harvest Moon.
My daughter plays that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not a huge fan of like the gun ones.
you're not playing Mortal Kombat?
I'm not playing Mortal Kombat. I might be playing Final Fantasy, you know, has swords.
Sure.
So not opposed to combat, but just you're not gonna see me, you know, play Call of Duty or anything, right. Anything like that. But so definitely I'd say video games.
There you go. How about you, Ellen?
All my life I've always fallen back into singing, songwriting, and poetry. It kind of ebbs and flows in terms of inspirations and creativity levels and time, but it's coming out in some form or another pretty much all the time. Like I had my daughter's middle name comes from it was inspired by a favorite poem of mine, which I recently turned. It's not a poem that I wrote, it's just a poem that means a lot to me, but then I turned it into kind of a song to be able to sing to her. I got to actually sing it to the author of the poem, which was cool.
Wow.
so that he could hear it. So yeah, just like, you know, just having to have that sort of expression of getting things out of my head and into the world in some capacity, you know.
So lucky kiddo, they get good food from your cooking and they get songs written about them. That's very sweet. I love that. Well, do we want to do a let's get deep question? We have time for that.
We have time.
All right. It's just a random question from this deck of cards and who knows what it'll be. Oh, we can't do that one. It's what is your favorite podcast? Like,
oh,
that's funny. You know, it's funny because I've done this a lot of times, and I feel like the card always matches the guest that I have. So, Stories from the Earth podcast. What's a random thing you know a lot about, Jennifer?
Wow. That is
I kind of feel like you can't say herbalism either.
I can't say, well,
like it's got to be outside that realm, you know? I like the random facts about the people.
Wow. Because I feel like I don't know a lot about, like, I feel like I know a bunch about some things, and then
we can choose a different card too if you want. It's cheating, but
I'll say I was trying to think of okay, the definition would be something that you're just like that hyper focused on or nerdy about, right? So I could say wolves.
Really?
Like, so obsessed with wolves growing up and the whole reintroduction efforts into Yellowstone and the red wolves coming into North Carolina and all of that, that I like followed all of it like a hawk, and I was like pen pals with people at these wolf research institutes around the country, and had my parents, I was homeschooled, so I convinced them to drive the family up to Richmond, Virginia to meet this couple who was doing these educational traveling programs with a wolf so I could meet a real life wolf. I read and still have all of these many, many books about wolves. So if I hear people say things about wolves that I know is inaccurate, it's like my antenna goes up and I'm like, no, that is not correct. They do not do that. That is not true. It's still in there, you know, it's not as in practice as it was in my 12-year-old self, but stayed with me all these years.
I just feel like we've talked about things that I might have answered, like video games and then herbs. I mean, the other thing is probably like, you know, I mean, I guess some film and things like that. Like,
yeah, there you go.
But I'm, yeah, I guess because I went to film school and got pretty nerdy about it. That's been a little while. I'm sort of on this journey of relearning and learning more and picking up some stuff. But yeah, you should have seen my dad and I with the wires, like, so it was crazy. And I learned about, wait, they have a wire for that? And so I guess I can say the video film world. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a totally acceptable answer. And yeah, I think that's pretty cool, to be honest. And Ellen, also, I interviewed the owner of Mountain Rose Herbs, Sean Donnell, and I want to say his answer was also wolves. It was definitely related to ecology, and that's just kind of funny that you said the same thing. By the way, is that pillow, is that a wolf or a fox? I can't tell.
That's a fox.
Okay.
Or my daughter thinks.
You know your shit.
Kitty.
At this point, every animal is a kitty.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you know, I'm going to end the show on a different question than what I usually ask the guests. Actually, this was by the way, yeah. So, dear listener, the last, I want to say, four or five questions were strictly, or they were directly stolen from the Stories from the Earth podcast, the ones you asked me. And this is kind of just a similar one. So, going forward, what is your dream for Stories from the Earth? How do you see Stories from the Earth evolving? And I'll let either one of you take it.
Mm-hmm. Should I try?
Yes.
Wow. We have so many ideas. I would love for us to, you know, continue doing our regular interviews. And our plan is to sort of, we started locally and keep spiraling out farther from, you know, still doing local with our interviews, going farther and farther out from our home base, I guess. With the live podcast, just keep doing more of that, have do more panels. I've got a list of topics that keeps growing. And, you know, really being able, the idea with the live panels was not only to sort of get together in person, which is cool and different, but also to connect with the audience, because when you're just here on the podcast talking like this, you're not seeing the people listening. Totally. You're not interacting with them unless they like email you or something like that. And I thought it would be really, really neat to have more of an interaction. Some of the podcasts I listen to, I was inspired by them. They're bigger and they go on tour and stuff like that. And I was like, ooh, I wouldn't do that. Let's go do that. And so just doing more of that, that's just in its like baby stages. I want to do more like maybe like little mini documentaries going and following these herbalists and, you know, in their daily life, just doing, going to their farms and like showing everyone what they've been talking about on the podcast, just more of an evolution of that, getting in as I'm learning more about making those types of videos. And yeah. Being able to quit my job because people love us so much that they'll support us on Patreon, so I can do more of what I'm passionate about. Definitely, you know, that's definitely something that I would like to see happen. Okay, Ellen, jump in. Oh, I've got lost in my
along for the ride.
You're ideas.
He's the one that's been texting me, you know, at like midnight, like, oh, and what about this? Oh, and what about that? So yeah, I think we've got a lot of things cooking up. It's just a matter of plotting it out on a timeline, you know. But it should be exciting.
Yeah, more collaborations.
I think the big thing is just keeping it fun, you know, like if it's not fun, then why not, you know, why would you be doing it? So right now,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Right on. Well, thanks you two. Thanks for joining me on the Herbalist Hour. Also, thank you for letting me be on your show for the second episode, or not the second episode, my second podcast. It really helped me kind of feel more comfortable behind the mic and behind the screen. And yeah, Jennifer, I agree. Like the interaction with the audience is so important. We've had a few like Herb Rally Schoolhouse members join on a few of the conversations now. And that's just always so fun. Even if it's like, say, one person there, four people in there, they will sometimes, yeah, participate, ask a question or whatnot. And I feel like it really does kind of make the podcast environment a lot more enjoyable. So right on. Well, thanks you both for joining me on the Herbalist Hour. Dear listener, please go subscribe to Stories from the Earth on your podcast player of choice, probably what you're listening to this on. That'd be my guess. But anywho, thanks you too. We'll see you in the next. Yeah, right on. We'll see y'all in the next episode of the Herbalist Hour. Take care. Bye.